Good morning. My name is Peter Fewings. Welcome to the service for the second week of Lent, at the end of our first 10 days. Maybe we decided to give up something we didn't have to. Maybe we fitted in something positive extra into our schedule, but we didn't have to. So let Jesus at this moment re-enter your thoughts and feel his presence with you. And let his love surround you. So we begin our service. Let us worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, direct our thoughts and teach us to pray. Lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we come to God to say sorry and to bring our regrets for the past week to him. So we say together, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. Forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly. Love worthily, mercy, and walk humbly with our God. Amen. The absolution. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading is in the Old Testament, and it comes from Genesis 15, God's covenant with Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abraham said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? And he said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought them him all of these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. And when the sun had gone down, it was dark. A smoking firepot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces, and on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadamites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. A short reading from Luke chapter 13. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. A vision of Shalom. Abraham, in our Old Testament reading, had given up everything to be obedient to God's call to move to the land of Canaan, and promised that this land would be given to his descendants. But as Abraham was getting old, still with no children, he and Sarah were getting worried that nothing was pointing to God's stated plans for them. So this passage is a solemn promise to Abraham in Genesis that he will have the land through his own offspring and not through what he thought, a slave in the family. A sacrifice of patient waiting is made by Abraham, and God blesses it big time. We ever feel we have been deserted by God? It is most likely to happen when things are going wrong or not to plan. Maybe we've contracted an illness or lost a close family member, and we feel alone and God seems far away. Maybe we feel depressed about Ukraine's unfair treatment by Trump and other things which are causing conflict and disagreement in places around the world. Big stress events, sad ones like bereavement, and even happy ones such as marriage can mean huge changes to what we are used to. When the children left home, or there is a need to move house or start a new job, even the relief of long-term stress when the adrenaline stops pumping and a deep tiredness or sadness overwhelms us. But actually, God is closer than we are to ourselves. He has promised never to leave us or desert us and give his presence and help to us. God's presence is a constant, and he encourages us, challenges us, and comforts us with his shalom, noted as peace, and his loving kindness. Shalom, translated peace, is an all-encompassing word in Jewish use. It does not refer just to a cessation of strife or stress, but shalom is an active word to endow the receiver with flourishing, blessing, energy, and ease of living. Jesus used shalom in greeting the disciples in the upper room, together with "Do not be afraid." These two phrases together are designed to cut through our anxious and unsettled thoughts and to fix our heart on our rock and redeemer, Jesus. So let's do a short reflection. Let's imagine we are in that locked upper room. And all we know is the man we thought was the Messiah had been killed, murdered by the hatred of the Jewish leaders. Was Jesus untrustworthy? Were his promises unsecured? Do we, if we put ourselves in the minds of the disciples, think that the Pharisees, or for ourselves, our enemies, might take revenge on us as Jesus' followers? We may feel deserted. We may be contemplating going back to our former lives as the disciples were, to fishermen. The grave seems to be empty, and we probably don't believe Mary, who told us she has seen Jesus alive. There's no proof yet. Maybe we thought, just she's a woman. Our misogyny comes out. Suddenly, Jesus appears in the room without a knock or the door opening and says, "Do not be afraid." What is our reaction when he says that? Joy? Or incredulity? Or other emotion? When he says, "Peace be with you, Shalom," what is our reaction? When he shows us his wounds, those in his hands and side, what is our reaction? Let's give ourselves a few moments to compare this with when we last felt deserted or afraid. When Abraham felt worried and deserted by lack of action, he was comforted by a chain specially choreographed and restated covenant promise from God, whom he gave his thoughts and feelings to. And in this covenant promise to give Abraham numerous descendants, who would become God's special people, he was given new hope. In the gospel passage, Jesus reaches out to his special people, the disciples, and hides us in the shadow of his wing. As it says here in Luke, like a hen will do for its chicks when they are in trouble. It is equated to there being a farmyard fire, and the mother hen sacrifices herself by putting herself between the fire and her chicks, even more than protecting her chicks under her wings. And so she protects them from the searing heat. In this idea of God's love, we see Jesus prepared to go to Jerusalem to die for us so that we can be saved by his blood, sacrificially. And when Jesus came to the upper room, he told them not to be afraid because he had a plan for their lives, not just words. That this plan would strengthen them to spread the kingdom to many in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear is the opposite of love, and Jesus transformed them from being frightened and deserting to being courageous, motivated and self-sacrificing disciples to follow his example, as we read about in Acts. Which side do we want to be on? How can we act confidently when things go wrong and we lose all the immediate benefits? How might perfect love, God's love, cast out fear for you? What do you want Jesus to do for you in the situations you find yourself in? So we have read and responded to God's word in the Bible, and we have reflected upon it. We come to pray together. We pray for the church, for a new archbishop who will be wise and brave and courageous, for a repentant church, to all victims and survivors, and for new strength and purpose to spread God's good news to others around us. This is the Lord, in your mercy. hear our prayer. And we pray, Lord, for the world, for peace between Ukraine and Russia, between Gaza and Israel, and provision for wounded and bereaved and disenfranchised. Also, Lord, the wounding of words said in anger. And we pray, Lord, for the care of creation, that we may be good stewards and give praise to God, our Creator. And we pray for our own government with the many decisions it has to be made, with scarce resources and how to spend that money and where to save. And we pray, Lord, for them to be able to respond to the change in world politics. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our community, for those to be married, for those who are bereaved, for those who are baptized. We especially pray for our sense of shalom in times when it seems more like a dark valley than the light of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick, the lonely, the chronically ill, the housebound, the depressed. And first of all, we bring to God's attention those people who are close to us, our loved ones, those who are friends, those who are in pain or difficulty. Lord, in your compassionate healing power and love, make them whole and heal them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We particularly pray, Lord, for Ian. We pray that he may rest in peace and rise in glory. Pray for Sue in her tremendous loss, and for Katya and Ben. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who minister to our loss and grief, O Lord. We pray for Leslie, our vicar, and for the clergy team. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we join together in the traditional rendering of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray with confidence as our Saviour has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And so we say the peace. We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for shalom and builds up our common life. Peace of the Lord be always with you. So as we go out together into the world, have a final blessing. Christ give you the grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all whom you love. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.